You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage. We seek to help you relate well so you can live well in all aspects of your life.
Welcome to the show that will change your life for the rest of your life. This is Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks, and I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage. And this is a show, it's going to help you connect. It's going to help you communicate better with everyone around you. Because when we learn to communicate better with everyone around us, we stand in our power, and we ultimately become a better spouse, a better parent, a better employee, or employer, and basically we just become a better human being, the one that God intended us to be all along. And this is why Relate Well was created with Dr. Rick Marks. He has a true passion to continually help others become the best version of themselves when relating to each other. Also known as Dr. Rick, welcome to the show, and how are you doing this evening?
I am relaxed, as a matter of fact.
Relaxed. Ooh, that's a good one. I think you were marvelous last week, and today you're relaxed.
I am. Well, you know, I choose it. So I just, why live in all the distress and stuff? You know, people you get caught up in things you can't control.
Yeah.
And you lose peace of that. Like, I'm not going to lose peace over things I can't control. That's why I think the Serenity Prayer is so important.
Yeah.
You know, God grant me the Serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, which is about limited control. And wisdom to know the difference, you know?
Yeah. We can't control anything.
And just stay in your wheelhouse.
Just relax.
Yeah, stay in your wheelhouse and control things you can.
Yeah.
Pray about the rest and move forward. And trust that God's got it all.
Yeah, yeah. And I like stay in the present. You always say stay in the present. And if you stay in the present, you can't be unrelaxed.
No.
Because if you're in the moment, you're not worrying and fearful and
or
concerned
angry,
about
resentful,
what's next. Angry, resentful, what was behind you.
Because you're living in what is.
Yeah.
Right? And what is where your truths are.
Yep, that's true. All right. All right, well, let's go into the first part of our segment, which I always love.
I enjoy this myself.
This is our questions from our listeners. And if you want to write into us, you can easier said than done.
RelateWell.us. So, send us your questions,
and we will probably use them on air because we have a lot of great questions that come in, and everybody can learn from them. I mean, I learn from them, and I know that everybody else does because they write in and tell us so. So let's start with one question from Renna. Renna is in St. Augustine, Florida, and she says, I just recently lost my father to a long-term illness. Mm. And my husband didn't attend the funeral because he had to work. I try to understand his job is very demanding and it allows us to live a great lifestyle. However, I am really resentful that he is never there for me when I need him, but I'm always there for him when he needs me. I don't think I'm ever going to get over the fact that he wasn't there for my father's funeral. Why can't he be there for me?
Boy, did that question trigger something for me.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Many years ago when I was working with Dr. Gordon, of course, she was paying my salary and I was on the road. And when she said, we're going somewhere, we're going. That's just my job. And she made a decision. We were going somewhere on the weekend of Luella's birthday. And I went. I went. Because there is a part of me that said, she pays the bills, in a sense, and she is my employer, and I can't tell my employer no. I was afraid to, because in the end, when she teaches, I had to be there, because that's the way it worked, you know? And Luella was deeply hurt by that, and so I get it from his side. I also get it from Luella's side, which is Renna's issue. You know, being there for him is a wonderful thing that says a lot about her and her character, her love for him, her love for the family and marriage. Why he doesn't do it, I don't know. I don't have that answer. I just related it back to mine where I felt this sense of being stuck, but I just brought it down to economics. I can't tell my boss no because she's like, doesn't matter. I need you here.
So is it a male-female thing? It's the male brain's way of thinking, I need to honor my family by providing for my family, so my job, I don't want to say is first, but it kind of is.
The job
at a
really wasn't
level?
First.
Does that mean?
It would anything? Feel like it's first to Luella. It would feel like it's first to her.
It would to me.
It did feel like it.
I would agree with Reno and Luella. But I'm a female, so
but
I don't know.
But from my perspective, I'm not saying you're not first. I believe you're first. But in this particular situation, that what you're calling first is I had to make a decision based on who I am as an employee, a provider, those kinds of things. And what would be the cost to me and my job if I said to my boss, no. All of those played out in my head.
But you said to your wife, no.
True. However, we had a birthday party at another time that was convenient.
And how was that allowed, for her?
It didn't have the same meaning because it wasn't on that day.
Right.
You know? So, you know, I can relate to that one. I don't really have an answer because I don't know the reasons he said no. If he's a person, you know, it's like I told him, well, do you really see me every year not doing something for your birthday? No. It's one time. But I felt this stuckness, right? Of course, telling her it's one time didn't do well because there was a hurt there. Mm-hmm. And I have to respect that, you know? And looking back at it, you know, would I do it again? And one part of me said yes. Another part of me goes, well, then I'll just jeopardize the job. You know?
Gosh, it sounds like a real catch-22.
For someone,
even many years later.
For someone like me, it would have been. And well, it was back in those days. Mm-hmm. It was a catch-22. Because I was the income for the family. Do I really want to jeopardize that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because I hear that a lot from friends that have had children. And their husband was traveling. He was abroad, or he was wherever he was. He was out of town working, and you know, baby came early. Deliver baby. He's out of town, and he couldn't make it back, or didn't make it back, or chose not to make it back. And it's resentful. It creates resentment.
Military families understand this dilemma really, really well.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, and I'm a proud 12-year Navy vet. My goal originally was to retire. You know, and let's be honest, a lot of people in the military, they miss a lot of important dates because the job requires it, you see. So what you do is you have to acknowledge those things. If you're gone on deployment, you got to acknowledge those things from a distance. Mm-hmm. I just acknowledge it after that weekend, you see. But it couldn't have been on that weekend. But I did acknowledge it later. But in the sense, it didn't have the same meaning. You know, it didn't have the same value. Because in her heart, you're choosing your job over me, and her mind thinking, well, you could have told her no. And I'm like, not in my world.
What's the right answer? Do spouses need to be more understanding of their spouse that is in the workforce and can't take away? Or
I would say it this way. We need to go back to her question because hers was about a funeral.
Correct. Yes.
Lost
her father.
I would take off for a funeral. I would do that. But most employers are going to let you take off for a funeral.
Mm-hmm. True.
They're not going to let you take off for a birthday. You with me?
Yes, that's
true. So we got to honor her question. The fact that he wouldn't take off for a funeral. Most, I don't know of a employee that would say you can't go to the loss of a loved one. That's a part of life. We honor that. We honor those things that happen in people's lives around death. You know, that's something we honor in society.
Birth and death.
Yeah.
Birth
so
as
the
well.
Fact that he didn't take off for that makes you go, hmm. And then my hunch is, I'm making a hypothesis here, Angelia. My hunch is if he did that around death, there's been a series of things that he could have been a part of that he's not, has nothing to do with job, may have been other things. Well, I'm going hunting or I'm going fishing. I don't do those things, you know. I'll give those up to be where I need to be with Luella. But when it comes to a funeral, it does make you go, why did you work? Because your employer would let you off for that. You know, even in the military, when I heard that my dad had a massive stroke, I wasn't going to go home because he was still alive. But my brother did tell me it doesn't look good. And my commander said, you're going home on emergency leave, whether you like it or not. And you know, I was a chaplain, and the chaplain had insight because my dad did die a day and a half later. And I did not know.
That gives me chills.
I did not know that he was going to die because he had a heart attack a year earlier, survived. This one, though, it was his death.
Oh, that gives me chills. So how grateful for you, for you being
but
there.
But even in the military, if something bad happens, you'll get emergency leave. So around a death. So it makes you go,
might have been something else going on.
She would have a good reason to be hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, other things like I went through, I get that battle. But when, around a funeral, that's a puzzle for me.
No excuse.
Yeah. So, that's a puzzle for me.
So if it's hobbies or extracurricular activities.
You can give those up.
Or a funeral, no excuse.
You should
be there for your partner.
In my mind.
But if it's a job, in your mind, in your perspective.
And it's a birthday party.
It's a possibility to not be there.
Even if the anniversary. Look, I have to be here. Let's schedule the anniversary on this day. Mm-hmm. Just talk to him ahead of time, you see. Mm-hmm. I think my mistake back then was I just said where I'm going without saying, well, we're going to do it here. And I think that's where the hurt was. It came across as I'm not acknowledging her birthday. But in my mind, I was in my head. I just didn't communicate it.
And is it important to know your significant other, your spouse, your partner, and know the things that are, let's say, deal breakers? For me, birthdays are deal breakers. Birthdays are really important to me. Mm-hmm. That's me personally. Mm-hmm. And possibly Luella personally as well. So I think maybe it's really important, you correct me if I'm wrong, to know those deal breakers, the things that are super important to your partner.
Let's put it this way. I have never done that since. If I had to be gone somewhere on her birthday, I said, look, I know your birthday's on this day. Because of work, I got to do this. So we're going to do it on this day. I just communicated ahead of time so that she knows that it's a value to me, that I value it, you see.
Yeah.
You know,
so, super important to know in advance.
Yes.
And to let everybody know in advance so everybody's on the same page advance.
Like, you know, weekend this past, our anniversary, I had to work that weekend. Mm-hmm. But I said to her, all right, on this day, we're going to celebrate our anniversary, but we're really going to celebrate the first weekend of March. Uh-huh. And we're going to set up a trip. Uh-huh. And she said, okay. That way, at least we both knew that I value. I've never forgotten a birthday. Or an anniversary. Never forgotten them. I just didn't communicate that one time.
And that was it. And that was the last she made
exactly
sure of it.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, let's talk about your book because you've got a book that's on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us what's in that.
Relationships for Life was written. It was 21 lectures that I gave actually years ago on all it takes to have healthy relationships. And I had them recorded and transcribed. And we put those into a book format. Into a book, basically. And it's really what I've learned in my journey of healing and in education. And I put it down. So a lot of my personal stories in there and how I learned things the hard way. But it's really about how do relationships form? What are the skills for healthy relationships? What are the principles that make relationships successful? Things to watch out for. And so it's kind of like the essence of my thinking in my own journey of transformation. So it's a really good book.
Great. Sounds like something we can all learn from, which is good. And I want to remind you again, it's called Relationships for Life on Amazon.com or DrRickMarks.com.
Yep. At the online store there.
All right. There we go. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick. We'll be back in a moment.
To have and to hold from this day forward. Your wedding day was the biggest commitment of your life. Relationships change over time, needs go unmet, communication breaks down, and half of all marriages end in divorce. If till death do us part has become a challenge, then it's time to reconcile and reconnect. In his 1 to 3 day marriage intensives, Dr. Rick Marks coaches couples in distress back to their love and hope for a future together. Dr. Rick's intensives is not traditional therapy. Marriage intensives give couples the skills for communication, problem solving, emotional regulation, as well as the skills for healthy bonding and much more. Intensives empower couples to create the marriage they desire with Dr. Rick's Relate Well principles and tools, keeping couples out of the divorce graveyard.
I realized many years ago with the team that I work with that if we could teach people the skills for bonding and reattachment and communication and problem solving and emotional regulation and much more, it gives you the hope again, which can lead to the goodness and the love and the feelings and the intimacy so that you win. Your usness, your marriage wins, and your kids win. 87%
of the couples who participated in Dr. Rick's marriage intensives reconnected their love for each other and remained married.
you want to take the opportunity, you have the will to do it, you want to do it, and you want to save it, we'll show you how.
Intensives are cheaper than a divorce and much more meaningful. Save your marriage, reconnect your love, save a generation, and secure your future. For more information, visit drrickmarks.com or call 904-724-8683.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and we just tackled actually one question in our previous segment.
Yeah.
We normally have four or five, but that was an intense question and one that hit home for you.
Yeah, but it triggered memories in me.
Yeah. I mean, it's an important question, I think. So it was a good tackle for us.
Yeah,
we did,
but
we did
because
good with that one.
We talked about the break, typically because that question showed up around Luella's birthday this year.
Yeah.
You didn't schedule anything on my birthday. No.
No.
Particularly since I control my own calendar now, right?
I love it. That's great. And you said that she reminded you in advance.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
important. So I knew it was like, that really was a hurt for her,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's move on to what I guess that could have been a major fight.
It could.
And that's going to segue into what we're talking about this segment. Because we're talking about you and your spouse fighting.
Yeah.
Now, fights are important in a relationship, and it's actually saying that it's healthy more so than unhealthy. Is that correct?
Fighting is normal. It's natural. And when we think of fighting, think of it having conflict, you know. The word fight has images create, you know, you might think of boxing,
mm-hmm.
you know, throwing things. So we may want to change the word fighting to having conflict.
Okay.
And fighting about different things,
okay.
You know, you can fight in a healthy way or you can fight in an unhealthy way, basically, right? And, you know, some research shows that there are some having fights about certain things that we may think are problematic are actually not problematic at all. They're just normal, you know, to have an argument or to fight about this is not a bad thing. It's actually a normal thing, you know. You don't learn about it. Listen, but you don't learn about a person a lot of times until you have a fight. And I say this way. When you have a fight, it's because you bumped up against somebody's expectation that you didn't know about.
You bumped. Yes,
yeah, you bumped up.
Like a shark bumping a boat. Oops.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, our first year.
You realize then you're going to fall in the water and be eaten by the shark.
Yeah, like my first year of marriage, right? And I sat down on Christmas Eve. First year of marriage, married.
Uh-huh.
Sat down Christmas Eve. There were presents on the tree. I pulled one out, started open it. Didn't ask permission, just did it. And she came in, she saw me. She says, what are you doing? I said, I'm thinking to myself, isn't it obvious? But, you know, I didn't say that. I go, opening a present. What would you do that for? It's not Christmas Day. And I said, because you open Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, because that's what we did.
Oh, interesting.
That's what we did. We opened them on Christmas Eve.
All of them.
Uh-huh.
All
so you
Christmas
slept
Eve.
In on Christmas Day.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And her like, well, you don't open presents on Christmas Day, not where I come from. So there are two expectations that were non-verbalized. And now we're having a fight about when do you open presents. It really wasn't about when you open presents. It's about expectations. So we had to create an expectation that we both agreed on. So the rule was I get to open one on Christmas Eve and the rest I don't touch till Christmas Day.
That's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we do. Christmas Eve we do, you know, a nice family gathering and one present each.
Yeah.
And then the following day morning we do breakfast, brunch, and then we open gifts for the whole family. So that's our tradition.
So
but everybody's traditions are different.
Yes. But so having arguments about certain things are really just kind of bump in my mind. Sometimes you're bumping up against expectations, but we're arguing about whose expectations right.
Okay,
you know.
So let me rewind then.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying that fights are possibly healthy.
They're normal. They are
normal.
Yeah.
And or conflict is normal.
Yes.
And then there's, I think, I don't love conflict. I don't love fighting. I don't like confrontation. I don't like, I was reading the other day something that was saying I was a sensitive, empathic personality.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So with that just means that I am very sensitive to other people's feelings because I can read them very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I in turn expect that of someone else for me. So I expect that they can read me as well as I can read them. So with that being said, I feel that I communicate my feelings so that we don't have conflict later. So I think that fighting and conflict is not healthy or necessary. So I want to make sure that I communicate that in the things that I feel like I need. So I would communicate in advance, okay, I'm so excited. On Christmas Eve, we're going to be opening gifts, you know, number one gift, and that's it. And then the rest will be on Christmas Day. So what do you say to somebody like that, that doesn't want conflict and looks at it in a negative aspect?
The first question is, what is your fear?
Fear is, I think fear maybe goes back to fights possibly lead to abandonment.
There you go. So in your brain learned that when there's an argument, the argument leads in rejection and abandonment. So if I avoid it, I'm avoiding abandonment and rejection.
Yes.
The problem
perfect
is...
Perfect world.
Yeah, perfect world.
In my mind.
But not reality, right? You always talk about what's out here in life
yes,
and time, right?
Yes.
In reality. So in reality, what it does, it just creates more conflict.
Oh, okay.
Because you have to address the issues that are bothering you. You both do in a relationship.
Okay.
And so you have to address the issues so that you can find a solution that works for us, you see.
Okay.
But avoiding conflict actually creates more and more conflict down the road.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, you don't avoid conflict. You deal with conflict, but you do it in healthy, mature ways, which is really what Relate With is really about, is to teach you how to speak for yourself, right? You got to speak up, say who you are and what your truths are in this issue, but you still have to solve the problem in a way that benefits the relationship, right? And so avoiding conflict doesn't really create anything positive. Long-term, it creates more angst for the one who's avoidant. And the one who's not, the other one's like, well, you don't want to talk about this? No, but you keep complaining, but then you don't complain. And so I don't know where I stand with you around this issue because you don't talk about it. And then one day the energy in you will get to a point where you'll blow up.
Okay.
The brain will like, I can't do this anymore. I've got to say something because I'm just so angry.
Yeah, so I think that's important for people who are avoidants like me.
Yeah.
Want to avoid conflict and don't need it, don't desire it. We need to communicate more.
Speak up. Speak your truth.
And don't be afraid of a fight.
No.
Don't be afraid of it.
Just make
okay.
when you can argue in a healthy, mature way, we know that we're working together to find a better result for us.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's destructive fighting that becomes unhealthy. Right.
Destructive in what way?
Destructive where you're tearing down your partner and you're tearing down us. What's called dirty fighting. Right? And in Relate Well, we have a long list of dirty fighting tactics. Mm-hmm. And they can be passively aggressive or overtly aggressive
mm-hmm.
forms like sarcasm, threatening, intimidating, forgetting, you know, acting like you're a martyr, acting like you're a victim. You know, all that's just anger and hurt just coming out and either passive or aggressive ways of control,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not healthy. So you want to fight in healthy, mature ways, which is really what Relate Well does. It allows you to speak up for yourself, allows your partner to hear your truth, but you still have to find a solution that works for the relationship, you
mm-hmm.
see?
Okay.
So anyways, so one thing we're going to talk about is what are healthy fights then, right? What are topics on healthy fight? And though money is the leading reason for distress and divorce today, what really predicts distress and divorce isn't money, it's how you communicate around these issues. But arguing about money is not a bad thing. You know, it's really the relationship trying to work itself out so that it could have agreement around how we deal with money. You see, what makes it worse is what makes it unhealthy is somebody's not willing to find agreement because they want it their way. You know, my way is the best way. Now, in our home, I bring it in and Luella manages it all. She's far better suited at those things than I am. Her mm-hmm. gifts and abilities to handle the bank account, pay the bills, and watch the insurance bills when they come in to make sure we're paid the right way, she's for me. Oh, okay, I got to pay an extra. Recently, I had to go get a physical, and then it turned out that the hospital system that my family practice doctor is part of, they allowed the lab to bill independent. Well, guess what? Apparently, the lab is a part of the physical. Well, Luella saw that $69 bill.
Caught it.
From that.
Yeah.
I would have just paid it.
Yeah.
And she said, this is why I do things. I research those things. Wait a minute. This should have been a part of that, right?
Yes. I think her in charge.
Yes. Very much so.
She's good.
I'm thinking, if she does it for me, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You're
you
going to paying the $69.
Exactly. Yeah.
The extra charge.
Exactly. So, you know, fights around money, chores, responsibilities are actually healthy.
But let me ask this, because mm-hmm. I'm actually, there's something that's triggering in my head. I'm thinking of a friend right now that they argue, her and her husband, they argue about money, but they continually argue about money. They never really get to the bottom of it or squash it and stop talking about it or arguing about it. It's always little digs that they both do. It's
in the digs of the dirty fight. It's because they're not seeking to understand the other person's perspective of that issue and find understanding. We say it this way in our world. You create relationship when two perspectives come together. And when you put perspectives together, that gives you understanding of the issue. But Americans, typically, we don't want understanding. We want to win. In other words, my view is better than your view. I'm right. You are wrong. The problem is I'm looking for you to agree with me, Angelia. Agreement destroys relationships. Well, I don't mean agreement.
So
we need understanding.
You believe in saving money. I believe in spending money. And then I'm always digging at you. You're always spending. I mean, you're always saving. You never have any fun. You never spend on our daughter. You never. And then you come back at me. You're always spending. You're spending on our daughter. You're spending.
Right.
And so it just continually goes on. So do we need to sit down and say, what are your thoughts on money? What's your perspective?
Yes.
How do you look at money?
Yes.
How do you look at, why do you save money? Where does it come from? What do you want? Is that what you need
Those
to do?
Those are great questions. Understand why this is a value to them. Where did you learn this? What does it mean? If I don't do your way, what's your fears about this, right? Those are questions you ask to get a good understanding of that person's perspective of that. And then they need to understand your perspective, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, because everyone wants to be heard.
Exactly.
I want you to understand my feelings on money, and
now,
you want me to understand yours.
True. And here's the thing. It's not that I want you to understand mine. Shift it to, I need to understand yours.
I need to understand yours.
Yes. And I need to understand yours, Angelia. Why?
Because I already understand mine.
I already understand mine. But
okay.
I don't know our reality yet until I understand yours so I can put your perspective together with mine. Now I have understanding of reality. Got it?
Okay. But how do we have a meeting in the minds? Now that we have a grip on that.
All right. Hang on though. So you're thinking a solution right now.
Oh.
You don't want a solution. You need understanding first. And understanding creates a relationship. Now we have a relationship. Can we both understand each other? And care about how each other think and feel.
Okay.
But we may not necessarily agree.
Agree.
That's when you need to move to a problem-solving skills to find a solution that can work.
Okay. So that's helpful. I mean, you just did a walkthrough.
The process.
And that makes sense. So that way when we have issues, financial or chores or communication or whatever it is, we bring it to the table and I ask, what are your thoughts on that particular issue?
Mm-hmm.
And these are my thoughts.
Because money is one of those things where Luella is very much a saver. She likes to count. She was like, every time you buy an iced tea, you need to write it down. I am not writing down every time. And I'm I'm holding
$6 tea.
I got an iced tea right here, right, in my hand. I always have an iced tea. She goes, you're right. I'm not counting all that. I'm sorry, right?
Okay.
So what I do is I have a separate account that has X amount of dollars. And I use that.
Okay.
I don't use any of our money.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I use. I use for my traveling expenses, whatever. Ministry pays me back from those things. So that I don't touch these things. I said, look, I'm not going to count for everything. Just not going to do it. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, you want to go look at it? Go look at it. But if you see $1.59 here, it's Circle K. Well, then guess what? That was probably an iced tea, right?
So that way it doesn't drive her crazy and it doesn't drive you crazy.
Exactly.
And the two of you don't fight about
and
it.
And she gets to have the saving and the security that there's work okay.
Yep.
But it gives me that little part of me that needs to be flexible and not feel controlled.
I like that. Okay.
You
All right.
See.
Well, we've got to take a controlling break right there. I've got to
That's
take
true.
The control and we've got to get off to break. But we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks.
Dr. Richard Marks is a licensed professional counselor and clinical fellow with the AAMFT and an ordained minister. His education and training is exemplary. He holds a PhD in counseling psychology and a master's in marriage and family therapy, as well as religious education. Throughout his life, Dr. Rick has taught graduate school, managed psychiatric hospitals, held private practice, and is a U.S. Navy veteran. He has served as commissioner on the Florida Commission on Healthy Marriage, as well as started the statewide Healthy Family Initiative in Kansas under Governor Brownback. He is an author and founder of the Relate Well Relationship Skills Program. As the founder of RelateWell, Dr. Marks provides singles, premarital, and married couples the tools they need to lead a healthy, mature relationship.
And we teach skills for attachment, we teach skills for bonding, we teach skills for confiding, for communication, problem solving. We'll even teach you how to regulate emotional energy so you can be angry instead of not.
In addition, he trains in corporations and organizations the essentials of emotionally healthy leadership. He's been featured as a guest on numerous TV stations and radio shows in Jacksonville. Dr. Marks resides in Jacksonville with his wife Luella, who have been married since 1984, and they have three adult children. If Dr. Marks can serve your organization, business, church, or if you're seeking help through counseling and coaching, visit drrickmarks.com or relatewell.us or call 904-724-8683.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and we were having a pretty interesting conversation well ago. We've been talking about fighting and how important it is. And we were doing a walkthrough, basic walkthrough, mm-hmm. of just, you know, kind of just a real everyday fight that would be about money and finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped all the way down the road and went to solution-oriented.
Yes.
And you're saying understanding is really the most important here.
Yeah, well, yes. And when you framed it with me in our talk, you said we all want to be understood. And I said, actually, I'm shifting it from I need you to understand me, Angelia, to know what I need to do is understand you. You hear the shift?
Mm-hmm.
Get it off of me. I already know what I think. I'm secure. What matters is not what I see. What matters is what you see. Because I can't have understanding of our issue if we don't put these two perspectives together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
put them both out on the table.
Yeah. And so what matters is that I seek to understand your perspective so I can put that together with mine. Now I have understanding. Oh, and by the way, understanding creates relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Once we both have understood each other's perspective, not that I made sure you understand mine. That's about me. Seeking to understand yours is about you. Love would do that. But now we disagree. Now you find a solution. But here's the thing. The solution is now based on an understanding of the issues for both of us. What usually happens in a conflict is we don't like the conflict. It's not going well, right? So what does someone do? Well, why don't we just do this? What about that? So you throw out a solution. Throwing out a solution is actually an attempt to deflect the conflict.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we can throw out a solution. Let's just do this. Fine, we'll do that. And then you feel better because you're not in conflict now. But then you find out a month later or 2 weeks later, you're arguing about it again.
So that's why I jumped to solutions.
Because
I don't like the fighting part of it. Okay,
exactly.
So I don't know if somebody else can relate to that, but
yeah, well, some people can.
Okay.
So what if
somebody just insists that their way is the right way? Though there's lots of people that do that. It's their way or no way, and they can't understand the other person's perspective because they don't want to.
It's because what they're really saying is, "I'm right and you're wrong," and they want agreement with that.
And you can't
agreement,
get past that.
No,
that's a
because
wall.
That's pride.
That's pride. Okay.
That's pride.
Okay.
Because what you're really saying is my way is the only way. And actually, your way is just one way. But there are other perspectives of reality.
So how do you make someone understand that?
They have to move to humility to consider the possibility that yours is just a perspective. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. Luella and I used to argue about dogs. All right. I want one really bad. She does not want one really bad. And we have two very different perspectives of dogs. And about 12 years ago, I thought, you know, this is dumb. I teach this stuff. I should shut up. So I said, Luella, help me understand dog. One reality, two perspectives. But I never wanted I never wanted to hear her perspective, but I was going to make sure she heard mine. Very disrespectful. There's no goodwill in it.
Yep.
And it's all pride. It's no humility, right? I live by my four words, goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. So I sat back and I said, help me understand dog. And she began to help me understand growing up in an alcoholic home where she is parentified by eighth grade, taking care of her parents, taking care of younger siblings, doing the things that an adult would do as an eighth grader. And they had these dogs that no one really took care of. Just one more thing. And as I listened to her perspective, I went, no wonder.
Dog is a burden.
You don't want dog. And in that moment, I understood my reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I put her perspective together with mine, I went, oh, my, No wonder she went on dog, because when I keep pushing dog, I'm traveling 42 weeks out of the year. It would be disrespectful of me to force her to take care of something when I'm not home a lot. I couldn't see it till I understood her perspective. Now I understood reality. Then I could come up with a solution that works for us. If I just throw out a solution, then the solution that is being thrown out to avoid conflict is based on a misunderstanding of each other's issues.
And a missed opportunity.
To learn about each other.
To learn, to grow.
To learn about each other. Intimacy is about knowing another.
Yeah.
And if I don't want to know what's in your mind and your heart, if I don't want to know your perspective, you know, Lori Gordon used to say something a long time ago. It always bothered me when she said it, because it implied divorce for married couples. Mm-hmm. But she always said, if you don't want to know another person, if you don't want to know their perspective, if you don't know their heart, if you don't know what they think, then why are you together?
Yeah, you could just be happy
and
on your own.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't like that because it implies getting a divorce.
Yeah.
But you know what I've learned in my maturity?
Humility.
It's a fair question. In other words, if I don't want to know you, why are we together?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you cannot have an intimate connection with someone if you don't want to know them. It's in the Hebrew language, the word yada, to know deeply. Mm-hmm. If I don't want to know you, or if you don't want to know me, you already sense we're not asking questions of each other because I don't want to know. You're gonna disconnect. Mm-hmm. You see, and so I need to know your perspective. Not that I agree with it. Agreement doesn't build a relationship, but putting those perspectives together to create understanding creates the relationship. Now we can find a solution, if at all possible.
And I think it's probably notable to say, you always need to learn about each other.
Very much so. We did
that in the beginning of our relationships. We ask question after question after question to see if everybody checks the boxes and that's the right person for you. And then you marry, and then you've been together 10 years and you stop asking questions. You stop learning about one another, because we change. We evolve.
Very much so.
We evolve into different people. Well, I take that back. I do know people that say my spouse never changed and I did. Or I grew and she didn't, or he didn't. I do hear that often, or sometimes, but more often than not,
People change. I say it this way. When people are dating, mm-hmm. they call each other 3, 4, 5 times a day.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Talk a lot. Then they get married. And then they begin the journey of marriage, right?
Yeah.
For most couples who are married, they'll still call each other down the road of marriage. But for most couples down the road of marriage, when they call each other, Angelia, a question is asked early. What'd you want? What'd you need? I always ask this question.
What do you want? What do you
when
need?
You were dating and call right. 3 or 4 or 5 times a day?
Was it, what do you need?
Who asked that question? No one.
No one.
Nobody asked that question.
Yeah.
So why is it when down the road of marriage when I call you, it's because I want or need something. And if I don't want or need something, I don't call you. It's because I quit wanting to know you, which is the Hebrew word yada. You cannot have an interrelationship with someone if you don't want to know them. And sadly, couples quit wanting to know each other.
Say that again. I think that's really important. You've really got to keep that relationship going by learning about each other.
You got to want to know. In other words, I'll pick on us men because it's safer. Guy comes home. He sees his wife obviously upset about something, you know, and he'll go, are you okay? No, I'm not. Is everything all right? No, I just told you it's not all right. And then I'll ask this question. Did I do something? No. Okay, then. Well, I'll be in the garage.
Got a project to work on.
Exactly. He leaves her in the pain alone.
Mm-hmm.
But the real message is, I don't want to know you.
Oh.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't about me.
Oh.
That's all I want to know. It wasn't about, once I learned it was about me,
uh-huh.
Okay, then I'm going to go do this. But you don't really want to know her. You know? Luella loves to talk about what goes on at her work and her day.
Mm-hmm.
Either I want to hear it or I don't want to hear it. And I've learned you got to want to know her. You see, so every day, mm-hmm. twice a day, mm-hmm. I call her and leave a message. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was thinking of you. Hope you're having a good day. I always do yada, mm-hmm. because you cannot build an intimate relationship if you don't want to know them.
Yeah.
You see.
What about when it becomes monotonous, though?
It never does, but when it's related to intimacy, when you love someone,
good.
You want to know them.
Good. Okay. Because you said you do it every day, twice a day, and that
it's
would
not monotonous. You know why? It's another Hebrew word. This is the word sakan, which means caring involvement. It has to do with motivation.
Okay.
You know, why do I do that? It's because I care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not because I have to, it's because I want to. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll actually find that word in Psalm 139, verse 3, where it gets translated into the English intimately. Scripture says, like, he is intimately acquainted with all my ways. What it means is he is caringly involved in all my ways.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask God, God, why are you involved in all my ways? He would say, well, Rick, it's because I care about all your ways, so I get involved in all your ways. The care drives the involvement. It's motivation. So why does God reveal himself to us, which is the Hebrew word sod? It's because he cares. Why does he want to know? It's because he cares. Mm-hmm. If I care more about my work than my marriage, I'll be more involved in my work. If I care more about my hobbies than my family, I'll be more involved in my hobbies. Everybody cares about something.
Mm-hmm.
And the things you care most about, you get involved in.
And those things that grow. Those are the seeds that grow.
Yes. Well,
it's so important.
Because I care so much about us,
mm-hmm.
I get involved in us.
And it grows.
And that's why I do it.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
And if she says, can I talk about something and it's not a good time? I go, give me 10 minutes so I can give you my focus. It says
okay.
I care enough to hear what you want to say. I want to know.
Yeah.
But right now is not a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we talk about healthy fighting is a speaker can bring up an issue anytime they want. But the listener has the right to reschedule that fight up to 12 hours.
Up to 12 hours. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What? Well, up to 12 hours. There's a time limit.
Well, here's why. Let's say you and I are married and you're upset about something and I'm getting ready for work.
Okay.
And you go, Rick, I need
angry.
To talk
you
about
didn't
this.
Make
right?
the bed.
And
you
I go,
didn't make the bed. You never make the bed.
And I might say, you know, I'd love to talk about that, but now's not a good time. So how about when I get home at 6, we'll talk about it.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
You see, exactly. Because that allows you the security in the know that I do care mm-hmm. about what it is, mm-hmm. and I value it enough to sit down, but it allows me the security. It's not a good time right now.
And I think the best part is it gives me time to simmer down.
Then
I don't care as much anymore about the bed.
So, yeah.
I've already made it. That was 12 hours ago. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about a little bit more about fighting, but then we're going to talk about some trust.
Okay.
Maybe some reasons for fighting. So we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick.
A healthy, nurtured relationship is key in making your life whole. Yet for most, that perfect relationship is elusive. In Relationships for Life, marriage and family counselor and acclaimed speaker, Dr. Rick Marks, offers proven principles and skills for caring and mature relationships. Dr. Rick shares personal experiences from growing up in a broken home and how vulnerability led to healing in his own life. The book is a unique perspective packed with faith-based and clinical insights for making a relationship work. Relationships for Life is for anyone who wants to create and maintain healthy relations in every aspect of life. Available as a digital download in hardback and paperback on Amazon and in the web store at drrickmarks.com.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we are talking about fighting today.
Yeah,
so
and relationships.
If you're feeling a little angry yourself, then join us because we're talking about fighting with your spouse or your partner. And we were just talking about on the break, you have this acronym, which I think is pretty interesting, called HALT.
Yeah.
What is it?
You know, you see it a lot in the therapy field. It's the conditions by which you don't argue, all right? Because the brain doesn't want to argue, it wants to solve these four issues. So H-A-L-T for our listeners, and so I'll say I'm really slow in case I want to take the notes, right? Under these four conditions, don't argue, solve that problem, all right?
Okay.
In other words, H is hungry. When you're hungry, don't deal with conflict.
But you're hangry sometimes, right?
Well, yeah. So when you're hungry, the brain only wants to meet that biological need for appetite.
Okay.
Go eat.
Okay.
Don't talk about a problem. And don't talk about a problem when you're eating, all right? Make the meal time a safe place, all right? All right? And so the brain doesn't want to deal with conflict when it's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to solve that biological need. Secondly, don't argue when you're angry. That's the H-A, all right, of HALT.
Okay.
When you're angry, take a deep breath. Call a timeout if you have to. Move to separate spaces. Don't ruminate on the problem. Move to a place where you can get out of anger. And you think, well, how do you do that? I always say move to grace. Move to grace. move to compassion. All right. It's not just about you. Do you care about us? Well, yes. But that, do you care about us? Yes. Do you love that person? Yes. Move to gratitude. Gratitude will move you out of that. We know through brain research that when you are in a state of gratitude, your brain cannot be angry or fearful.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Okay.
It's a powerful way to move
one to. Or the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you're angry, do what you got to do to move out of the anger, all right?
Okay.
Some people like to quote that Bible verse, you know, which goes to the letter T, and we'll get to that in a minute. I think I'll stop right there. So the next one is lonely.
Lonely. Is
when
that,
you
okay.
find yourself lonely or disconnected, don't argue, because your brain is needing connection. It's needing something relational.
You need a hug, not
exactly.
a fight.
Exactly.
Okay.
So get that need. Get out of loneliness. Find a connection.
Okay.
Always communicate issues from connection. Mm-hmm. And the last one is tired.
Oh, yeah.
When you're tired, your brain just wants to sleep. It's amazing, Angelia, how many people will come in for counseling or even seminars that I do, and they'll go, well, we are arguing till 4 in the morning. And the other one goes, yeah, I just wanted to sleep, but, you know, he or she kept it up. And I go, y'all should have slept.
Yeah.
You need to sleep.
So you can go to bed angry?
Well, hey, yeah, well, the Bible said, so they'll quote a verse, you know, in your anger, do not sin, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. They
yeah.
think that means we have to argue about it until we're done arguing,
yeah.
until we solve it, till the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it did not say solve the problem. It just said, in your anger, don't sin, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. What that means is move to grace. Just mm-hmm. step out of anger.
Uh-huh.
Agree to disagree, but move out of the anger. Find a way to get back to compassion and gratitude.
I love what you said earlier. So instead, go to bed, but I would say first what you said earlier. I know that you're upset. I know that we're upset. Let's talk about it, and you know when
the morning
comes.
Yes.
So it's that 12-hour rule that you had.
And when,
I like that.
Yeah, it's that agreement that let's sleep. We're tired.
Yeah,
I love you. You love me. We just disagree right now.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we value us and let's get some sleep and we'll discuss it tomorrow mm-hmm. in a healthy, mature way. And if we need to, we'll use some of the skills we learned in Relate Well, right?
Yeah, right.
Because our communication skills allow you to express issues in a mature way so you can find a solution that you find understanding that creates, that moves towards a solution if at all possible.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me summarize. It was halt. It was don't argue when you're hungry,
uh-huh.
angry,
yep.
lonely,
yep.
or T.
Tired.
Like,
when you're tired, yeah. Yeah. Your brain just wants to sleep.
Okay. So those four things, make sure you're not having a fight. Just get out of whatever it is that you're in. Eat, sleep, whatever it is, and then fight.
Yeah. I remember
later.
Years ago, Luell and I were like arguing. It was like, I don't know, in the 90s. And I used to think he had to stay up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she just rolled over, went to sleep. And I'm thinking, you can't do that. We're supposed to solve this. But she rolled over to go to sleep. And I'm sitting there thinking, how dare you? We're supposed to solve this before we go to bed. But I want to be respectful, so I don't wake her up.
Uh-huh.
So you know what I decided to do? I stayed up. I went downstairs. Went downstairs and started playing video games. I know it sounds dumb, but I did.
Okay.
You know? And about 3:30 in the morning, she came downstairs. She says, what are you doing? And I said, waiting for you.
Oh, oh my goodness.
She said, well, I was tired. I went, I know, I'm just waiting for you.
Oh, gracious.
And she says, all right, I'll talk about it. But her brain was a different place because she already had quite a few hours of sleep.
Yeah, she was well rested. You were in the angry mode.
Yeah. And in 30 minutes, we solved it. And I went back to bed and got a couple hours of sleep.
Okay. So,
and then I learned later, that was dumb on my part.
It was dumb.
All you should have done is just schedule it for later.
Yeah.
And I would have had a lot more sleep that night.
Schedule that at 7 a.m.
Exactly. It didn't say you had to stay awake to solve it.
Okay.
Just move out of anger. Move to grace. Be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Move to grace. Get out of the anger and go have a good night's rest.
Yeah.
Solve it tomorrow.
I think that's a good idea. I like that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, there was one part in the article, there was a quote actually about mm-hmm. the fighting healthy versus unhealthy. And it says, when partners experience a rupture, both parties have the responsibility to find ways to repair, connect, and move forward. That transferable life skill will not only strengthen the relationship, but will also mature both individuals to better navigate obstacles in their life and other areas as well.
And that's exactly
interesting.
Yeah, and that's exactly what RelateWell really does. The purpose of RelateWell is to help people solve and understand problems, number one, so that they can create solutions that work for us. But it requires maturity, and our work is about maturity, being a healthy, mature adult to love maturely, because, you know, the greatest of these is love, Corinthians says, to love maturely so that we can protect and us from conflict so we can solve a problem. But when we solve a problem, I learn about myself. I learn about you, right? I mature because when we solve a problem, I feel better. I feel better about me.
And better about us.
Yes.
It was is the important part.
Yes. And when
it makes a stronger bond.
And yeah. And when us is strong, you both are strong. Right. Mm-hmm. And it takes two to make enough one to kill it. So the more mature I am, the more mature Luella is. When you think about it, if she's handling things maturely and I'm handling maturely, us becomes a breeze because it's just a natural outgrowth of how we're dealing with things.
Mm-hmm.
And so RelateWell is really designed to give people the fundamental skills and tools so they can handle conflict of any issue and find a solution that works for us that allows you each to better yourself and the other. That's really what it's designed to do, right?
And that's the best part. I mean, you're creating stronger bonds, stronger individuals, and stronger relationships moving forward. No matter if
yes.
it's with your child, if it's with a spouse, if it's with a partner at work, it's, you know, everyone.
Yeah, and you got to stay out of that lower order brain that creates dirty fighting, you know? And the dirty fighting, there's two different forms, you know? There's the passive-aggressive forms and the overt forms. The overt ones are linked to the fight response of the brain, and the passive ones are linked to the flight response of the brain. And the reality is, whenever you argue from that lower order animal brain, dirty fighting, you're not benefiting yourself because you're actually not in rational control of your own self, but you're also harming the relationship and your partner.
And the best way, when you find yourself caught up in that just lower brain order,
mm-hmm.
you need to take time away.
That's why calling a timeout is wise.
Timeout, gratitude,
yeah.
You know, just focus on something else and give your mind a break and then revisit.
Yes. And timeout isn't that, you know, fine, Angelia. Well, I'm just going to take a timeout and I walk away from you. That's actually me running from the problem. I'm going to deal with it. A timeout would sound more like this. You know, Angelia, I think we're losing control of this right now. And since we're being disrespectful to each other, at least I feel like I am. So what if we call a timeout and let's take an hour? And when you do that, you're saying, look, I want to protect us from me, from you. I want to protect us. So I'll call a timeout with goodwill. And then you got to say how much time you need. Give me an hour. I'm going to go chill out. Don't ruminate on the problem. You know, No shots across the bow, my Navy guy, right? No shots across the bow. Don't call our names when you leave the room.
See, that's what I'm visualizing is there's always one person that needs that time away to regroup, and that other one always wants to just go in for the jugular, and they just keep going.
Yeah, and here's the thing is when you, quote, call a timeout without informing your partner about it, or another way, we say this way in our world, the relationship has to agree to a timeout rule. So that if either of us feel things aren't going well, we both agree that either of us can call a timeout. And we're not doing it to avoid conflict. We're doing it to protect the relationship. So
okay.
If I sense that I'm not doing well or I sense that you're not doing well, I go, hey, this is not going well. Let's call a timeout and let's take an hour. Got it? And
okay.
Then you go somewhere else. Don't ruminate on the problem, right? I go watch documentaries, you know, usually military ones. I just go chill
calm
out.
The brain.
Yeah. And then whoever called the timeout is the one that reengages. So after the hour, I may come back and go, hey, I appreciate the hour and I appreciate the timeout because it allowed me to just kind of get my head together.
Okay.
Now, how about we continue to talk about it? And here we're going to use the Express skill, which is our big kahuna skill in RelateWell. That allows you to deal with a really emotional issue in a healthy, mature way. Pull out one of the skills from RelateWell and use it in that moment. And
okay.
That will move you to a different space to communicate differently about it.
Okay, let me rewind to the quick. We've got to end the program. I can't believe we're almost out of time. But let's say you said, I need to call a timeout. This is the best thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one who wants to keep going. What do you mean you need a timeout? Why do you need a timeout? We need to talk about this.
Right.
Let's fight this out.
All right.
Tell me how this goes.
Remember, the marriage has to agree to a timeout rule. So if the marriage is in agreement to it, either of us agree that if either of us feel we need a timeout, the other respects it.
What if I'm not willing to respect it? I want that fight done.
Then I would say to you, I'm just needing to know then, are you withdrawing our agreement for a timeout?
Okay. All right.
Because that's what you're sending by your... And it shocks your brain back into the higher order brain.
Yeah, right. It did.
Yeah.
I actually went, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a question.
What you said, that was
yeah.
so
are you,
intense.
If you were drawing the agreement, then I recognize that that's no longer good for us anymore.
Okay.
That's what you're telling me.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying that. Great.
Okay.
Then I need that hour.
Say that one more time. Say it again.
Then I would say, are you withdrawing our agreement for a timeout rule?
Okay.
I would just ask the question.
So you're not playing by the rules. You're playing dirty.
Yeah, and
I
would be respectful, but I'm asking you a question.
Way, yeah.
And it's a question that kind of re-engages your brain back to the higher, like,
yeah.
Oh, I am sending that message. Well, you are.
Kind of sounded very mature.
Because if you want to go dirty fighting, then we can go there, but nobody wins.
Yep.
You see?
And especially us doesn't win.
And that's when you kind of go with don't engage a fool in their folly.
Yeah.
And a wise man... I mean, a fool appears wise when he keeps his mouth shut. When someone's at that part, you don't engage them. Why? There's no goodwill in it.
It just gets worse.
It does.
It just gets worse. And then you can't pull yourself out of that. All right. Okay. Well, don't forget, we have got date night coming up. And that is April 20th from 6:30 to 8.
Very much so. Coming up, in 6 days?
Yeah. So it's right around the corner. And Luella's going to be there, your lovely wife.
Yes.
And then couples are going to show up. Sometimes
dating,
singles,
married, or
dating,
you know, engaged couples. Basically, you come to Latin Grill here in Jacksonville, Florida, corner Beach Boulevard and Southside in the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center, just to the right. Great food, and they give us a space to enrich relationships, you know, and encourage people. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to have you 6:30 to 8. You know, if I don't speak, I invite someone else to come speak 15 minutes to inspire us, and then we all go home.
That's perfect.
New friends.
Yeah.
And people are starting
like-minded.
To come back every month. They're putting it on the calendar.
I love it.
Come back every month to the set date night.
That's true.
It's really a lot of fun.
We'll put it on your calendar. It's Tuesday, April 20th from 6:30 to 8. And that's date night with Dr. Rick and Luella. And if you would like to learn to lead a life through all four protectors in all of your relationships and learn how to develop the tools that create us in your marriage, us in your family, or even us in the workplace, then register for the online Relate Well Core program. You can register for Relate Well as a single or couples, and just register today at www.relatewell.us. That's relatewell.us. And if you're looking for private relationship counseling or life coaching from Dr. Rick himself, then call 904-724-8683. That's 904-724-8683. And this has been another amazing show from Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks to help you live the best life that you can. And remember, until next week, relate well to live well.
We want to invite you to visit relatewell.us. Whether you're single or a couple, come learn what a healthy relationship looks like and then put it into practice. For relationship counseling, contact Dr. Rick at relatewell.us.